Blog Talk Radio.
This is Snow Day Prey, and you are listening to the 10th. This is Snow Day Prey, and you are listening to the 10th Nation Radio Show.
Hockey fans, and welcome to the Pens Nation Radio Show for January 30th, our Monday edition of the show, first show of the week, and a busy weekend in Penguin Land and Hockey Land, not just the NHL All-Star Game, but on Saturday night, it's revealed that Sidney Crosby isn't just dealing with a concussion issue. I'm Ken Will, joined here with Andy Hughes and Joe Depto. A little bit later on, we're going to be having a short talk with Dejan Kovacevic about an article that he published in today's Tribune Review that starts to call some questions, I guess, about some of the doctors affiliated with the Penguins and some other things like that, and try to clear up the situation with that just a little bit too. And Andy, what do we know about Sidney Crosby's situation right now, according to all the reports we're collecting across the internet?
Well, there's certainly been a lot that has been said about Sid. We do know that he did suffer the neck injury. So, like you said, the Penguins did release a statement about Sid. They said the diagnosis of Dr. Robert Espere, a neurological spine specialist based in Los Angeles, is that Sidney Crosby had suffered a neck injury in addition to a concussion. Dr. Bray reports that the neck injury is fully healed. Those findings will be evaluated by independent specialists over the next few days. And the most important goal all along has been Sidney's return to full health, and we are encouraged that progress continues to be made. So that was the statement that they made 2 days ago on Saturday. An independent specialist is still looking over the rest and could hear those results in the next 24 hours. Sid did skate this morning with Jordan Staal and Simone Dupre, but the drama continues with this whole Sidney Crosby saga. It's just unbelievable. Just when you think it's over, it just takes another twist and another turn, and just really hard to predict what's going to happen here. So we'll have to wait and see what those results are, but that's pretty much the latest of what we have here.
And everything you're saying, Andy, is what's officially being posted and released by the Penguins. There's a lot of unofficial information out there in every sort of media outlet that you can imagine, especially in the Canadian media, which is where this all started, with the story breaking out in Sportsnet over the weekend. Some quotes from Pat Brisson that he's come to, some of the things he's denied, some things that we go as far as Sidney Crosby having a broken neck, to the C1, C2 vertebrae being fractured, to to fully healed, you know, at the same time, which is what the Pittsburgh Penguins are saying. And those are some questions we're going to be asking Dejan Kovacevic here in just a little bit. Joe, with the little medical expertise we all have here on this show, is the fact that this is a neck problem, possibly a problem with the vertebrae, and if it's fully healed, do you think that's a positive sign for the Penguins and Sidney Crosby going forward, as opposed to just a concussion that won't heal?
Well, if it is fully healed, and that official statement that was released by the team was really interesting to me, because I think it was the first time that I've ever seen a team release a statement saying that a player had suffered a severe neck injury and the injury was fully healed in the same press release. But if it is healed, that's great for Sid, and that's great for the team, and that's great for the potential of him coming back this season. But what I want to know is, how in the world does something like a broken neck get undetected or get, basically this hidden and this buried and this shrouded under the blanket of secrecy for so long? When Crosby has extensively, seen any kind of, plenty of neurologists and head doctors and things like that. And anytime you go and see a doctor involving a concussion, they always do scans on your spinal cord and things like that. I've had a couple of them. They've always done scans on that because, you know, a lot of the issues that Sid talks about still having in terms of balance and things like that, that all can be, you know, just as privy to your neck and an injury to your neck as it could be your head. So the timing of everything was really, really sketchy to me. Some of the quotes that's come out from the official team, like Biles was saying, I feel that Sidney feels he's gotten every possible support from the Penguins and Penguins medical staff. I'd rather hear that from the horse's mouth himself. And I'm really curious to see the next conference that Sidney Crosby has. And, you know, basically when he talks about his own situation. So I'm certainly interested in what he has to say, and I'm also very interested to hear what Dejan Kovacevic has to say about it as well.
I'm joined now by a man who has made quite a few waves in the Penguins media scene over the past few weeks, Pittsburgh Tribune Review columnist Dejan Kovacevic. How busy have you been today?
All I did was drive to Indiana, Ken. That's about as unbusy as you can get. No, actually, seriously, before I left, I did get quite a bit of feedback from readers on the column this morning about Sidney Crosby and his neck issue or non-neck issue, depending on which side you believe. And most readers seem to take the tone that they're extremely cynical and skeptical about the Penguins medical staff, and not just because of this possible situation. And remember that Dr. Bray's observations in Los Angeles still haven't been independently confirmed, as the Penguins want to see. There's just been a whole bunch of things. The other thing I heard a lot of from today, Ken, was people who are in the medical profession or have had cracked or fractured vertebrae sharing their own experiences. And I appreciate that, just like I do the stories about concussions from professionals and from people with experience alike. But ultimately, you're still talking about one human, one person, one set of circumstances with Sid. And I'm not sure if this is going to get him closer to coming back or not. I guess it depends on whether or not Dr. Bray's findings are corroborated. And I'm not even sure that any of it's pertinent at this point, because you saw yourself in the news release that the Penguins put out by Under Force Saturday night that the vertebrae are considered to be, quote, fully healed, unquote. So this might not be an issue at all.
Yeah, we've heard fully healed, we've heard completely broken, we've heard severed, we've heard all kinds of different words being thrown out there.
Well, no, not from the Penguins you have, but you've heard fully, you've heard, as of right now, fully healed, as of the release Saturday night.
I guess you raise a good question here, because one big question that Pens fans have is what should we really believe, or who should we really believe? Can the Penguins trust the information coming from the Penguins?
Well, here's the thing. One thing that I've been consistent on, you said something about, you know, my making waves. I don't really ever look at it like that, Ken. I'm not interested in making waves. I didn't do that, you know, for the purpose of making waves.
Sure.
In 6 years of covering the Pirates, just easy team to make waves with. And then 7 years of NHL before that, that's not really my reputation. However, when things come up that look like they're out of whack or they're out of place, I've also never been afraid to print it. You can ask Mario Lemieux about the front page article I wrote when the Penguins were in bankruptcy about him secretly voting himself a $10 million raise. That was based on sources. It ended up getting confirmed. I saw Mario the next morning. I was sitting in Herb Brooks' office, Civic Arena. Mario walks by and says, "Who are your sources? I can't tell if he's serious or not." And I kind of looked, I kind of squint at him, and he says, "Because I'm going to have to kill him." there's a professional understanding among people who've been around the business that I've been doing this for a while.
Sure.
I haven't gotten about that because I could throw into a 14th paragraph of a column that the Penguins had a secret players meeting to discuss a temporary captaincy.
Mm-hmm.
And just pull that out on a whim as opposed to having real information to that effect. The thing that, and this was the point that I was actually getting at before I sidetracked myself, is that the Penguins and Sid and his people and Paperson and Sid's dad and all of the various entities who are treating him or examining him need to be on the same page. The Penguins haven't been pleased for several months that they haven't been on the same page. Now, when I write that, people think, oh, no, they hate each other and stuff like that. That's not the reason that I write it. The reason I write it is because of weeks like this, okay? If you go back to, let's say, 2.5 weeks ago, when Sid held his little session in Fort Lauderdale, the media session before he skated before the Panthers game, Sid made it clear that he wanted to be more forthcoming and more open. By no coincidence, after that, Ken, you saw the Penguins put out a release every time he visited some different guy. When he went to Ted Carrick in Atlanta, there was not a big release, but just something that went out to the, you know, went out to the beat writers and whatever. Okay. Then when he went to LA to see a spine specialist, now last week he goes to see that specialist, the spine one, that's Dr. Bray. And Dr. Bray reaches his own conclusion about these cracked vertebrae. That doesn't come out. You know why it doesn't come out? In my view, it's because the Penguins don't subscribe to that theory. That's the reason that you saw when they were forced to put out their own statement Saturday night, which, believe me, nobody wanted, least of all the NHL. That thing's interrupting the NHL All-Star event up in Ottawa. When they put that out, it includes the explicitly worded sentence that the Penguins are going to run this information and have this processed by other specialists. That's plural, Ken. Specialists. Okay? They're going to look for somebody to find, to say that this isn't true. Because look at what happens if it is. Look at what happens. There's something that was already bungled back last January, just on those first 5-6 days on the concussion aspect alone, starts to look horrible. Okay, and that's the point that I was making with the column today. Everybody kind of seized, a lot of the readers that I heard from kind of seized on the idea that I was going after the Penguins doctors or whatever. I also made points critical, potentially critical of Dr. Ray. How do you do a retroactive diagnosis? I have heard from people about that today. But why not? The Penguins have every right to try to find out if this diagnosis is accurate. And if so, how did it get to the point where Sidney Crosby was allowed to go back onto the ice with a broken neck? I also got, I heard some criticism about using the term broken neck. Dude, look it up. Look it up. The C1 and C2, your vertebrae, if they are fractured even at a hairline extent, it is considered to be a broken neck.
The Penguins saw a little bit of that same situation whenever James Neal was injured this year, and they released the information that he had a broken foot and he wasn't going to be playing, possibly for the rest of the season, or at least for an extended period of time. And then the very next day, we find out he's going to miss zero games because it was just a bruise on the bottom of his palate.
Well, Neal's situation is a little bit different because his fracture is on a non-weight-bearing bone in his foot. So what should have, and that was, at least that part was caught and diagnosed properly and immediately. That was the good part. The bad part was that whoever issued the 6-to-8-week notice did so without the apparent understanding that it's a non-weight-bearing bone, or they thought that maybe James Neal was really some kind of, wimpy guy who wasn't going to play through however much pain he is playing through. And one thing that I think Penguins fans should understand, James Neal isn't a complainer, but he's playing through some pain right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's not screaming in agony, but there is some discomfort there. And if he is hit with a blocked shot, he does run the risk of exacerbating it. So this isn't nothing. This wasn't a blatant misdiagnosis. What they did was they came up with a 6-to-8-week timetable based on apparently what they thought was a weight-bearing bone, and it wasn't. Still doesn't look good, though. I agree with you. It still doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. It doesn't sound good.
This question is a little bit more for some of the, there's tons of tinfoil hat guys out there, and this is for those conspiracy theorists. And some of it was that the situations have been so many essential claims that, you know, Crosby had a tumor at one point. One thing that was mentioned actually last spring was that there was vertebrae damage done. And did you pick up anything, or anyone in the media pick up any kind of signs that that might be happening back last March whenever Crosby first started to skate again?
Are you talking about the vertebrae aspect?
Yes.
Well, here was the first big clue. On January 1 at Heinz Field, sitting 10 feet away from me, Sidney Crosby told a room full of reporters that he had neck soreness. This wasn't some tinfoil, as you put it, or conspiracy theory. It wasn't something that Oliver Stone needed to dig to get to the bottom of. Sidney Crosby stood on hockey's most prominent stage. Yes, bigger than the All-Star Game, bigger than the Stanley Cup Final. There's nothing bigger for the NHL than the Winter Classic right now. He stood there and told everybody he had neck soreness. Again, but that's not a conspiracy theory. That's when he tells you that, as soon as he tells you that, there's no test that you don't exhaust to find out if there's something wrong with the human being's neck.
Right, sure, and that's what I'm thinking. I mean, it really seems like a case where when there's smoke, there's fire, and, you know, he's complaining of neck problems. Is that something that fans should be concerned about, whether it be on the medical staff's part or the specialist that Crosby's seeing?
Well, the issues with the medical staff go beyond Sid. There's a fairly lengthy list of things. Sid is obviously the one that stands out because he's Sid. I don't like the way Chris Letang was handled. I thought that was, you know, crazy having him. How long was he off the ice in Montreal? Like, what, 4 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that's your quiet room. The only thing I've seen worse than that this year was what the Hurricanes did to Jeff Skinner in the game in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Kid was falling all over himself, couldn't remember his own name, and he comes back out to play for a lousy last-place team in a meaningless period. You know, and he's a 19-year-old future of that franchise. I mean,
and he's just two games out from a concussion.
The NFL goes and investigates the Cleveland Browns for how they bungled Colt McCoy. The NHL doesn't do a thing about the Hurricanes. So there's reason for concern not only at the Penguins level but across the board in the National Hockey League. I've always considered myself from childhood on to be way more of a hockey fan than any specific team. I've become a huge fan of players from other teams, lines from other teams. And you'll have to trust me when I tell you that what I saw that night at Compel Energy Center with Jeff Skinner was about as upsetting a thing that I've seen in hockey in a long time. It was inexcusable, and it's absolutely indefensible that the NHL did nothing about it.
Yeah, and those who listen to this show know that we spent a half hour raving about or ranting about that and how the Carolina Hurricanes should be, you know,
good for you, because that's not something that a lot of people easily do. They just look at their own team and they view the whole sport through that prism. Good for you for sticking up for that kid and for giving it to Kirk Muller and the Hurricanes and whoever else was responsible, including the people who examined Jeff Skinner. You know who that was? That was the Penguins physician.
Yeah, well,
I don't know which one.
Not to put any names to that, but yeah, that's what we ended up reading, is there was Penn's positions. And then the one other big thing that's hanging on this Crosby topic is exactly something you bring up in the article, is that Papasan originally said to the Canadian media that a second concussion was sustained by Sidney Crosby, but then he later went on to deny that. Do we have any idea about how many concussions Crosby's had?
Well, we don't. And as far as Pat is concerned, Pat's stance was that Pat was quoted by CTV in a paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. In other words, CTV said that Pat Brisson said that there was a second concussion. In the event where Brisson denied having said that, he actually was heard saying it. So there's a little bit of a difference there. I tend to believe Pat on the second count that he didn't say that there was a second concussion. The book, hey, I'll tell you something else. I mean, I've talked to Sid through some of this, and, you know, he's uncertain if there was a second concussion. So if he doesn't know, believe me, nobody does.
Okay, and then I think the last concern that people have with this whole situation is, do you actually think that there is some type of possible rift growing between Crosby's camp and the Penguins organization, even if it's not coming from Sid himself?
Well, I mean, I don't, you know, I've written that, Tim. I mean, this isn't something I'm, you know, mm-hmm. holding back to some kind of secret. I have written that. It's there. It was present. It was something that I picked up on, you know, in August when I was around some of the team's alumni and the higher-ups, where they were pretty upset. These things, when I've written them, haven't been particularly popular within the team, especially not the whole team meeting thing. Okay, but again, I don't work for them. That's not my concern, not my interest. My concern has always been getting the best possible information that I can to the readers.
Well, Dion, thank you very much. Your insights, definitely appreciated on here and in print as well. And, you know, I think throughout this whole thing, you've been a voice of reason in the midst of madness. And that's something we could definitely use a lot more of with the story.
Well, you know, there's no trick to this. You know, what you do is you just ask a lot of questions of a lot of people, and some of the answers aren't going to be satisfactory. Some of the answers aren't going to come from somebody that you're comfortable with know enough. But then there's stuff like the team meeting, which, you know, came from people that were, you know, essentially right in the room. Not essentially, but right in the room. You know, this wasn't stuff, this wasn't some stab in the dark. This is, you know, there's a way to go about this and do it right. And you know, there's also things I can tell you that we hear all the time that will go out of our way to try to confirm, to try to nail down, to try to... I heard something just over the weekend. This was on Penguins-related, but Pirates-related, that if I put a headline on it, everybody would go, wow, what a great story. Wow, what a great report or whatever. But I don't have it. I don't have it confirmed. So I'm not running it. Simple as that. We have editors to answer to, and we have reputations to uphold. So it's not all that tricky.
All right, Dion, well, enjoy the rest of your time out there in Indiana, and you have a safe trip back to Pittsburgh.
All right, Ken. Thank you.
Dion Kovacevic from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Some interesting answers there. Some things that we still don't have answers to that we wish we did. I think the big one there, for me at least, was how many concussions has Sidney Crosby sustained? And the answer is nobody really knows. I mean, it could have just been the original concussion on either the Stecco hit or the Hedman hit or whatever happened there. And then... his neck injury was just aggravated on the Krejci play. We just don't know. And you know, we can speculate up and down on all of these things just as everybody has been, but it's not going to clear anything up. It's just going to make us all be asking more questions. And hopefully soon we'll have some answers when the tests come back from California and Dr. Bray. And there are some reports on those things and at least have an idea of what is going on with Sid, maybe not when he'll be back on the ice, but a clearer picture of exactly what is going on inside his neck and head and everything, body, period.
God, this has to be one of the most complicated and just utterly depressing stories I can remember in sports. It definitely number one in Pittsburgh sports because you know, when Mario had a lot of his health issues and you know, they've obviously widely talked about and we all know what went down. But whenever he was kind of on his comeback trail, that was sort of icing for Penguins fans because we never really, you know, we never really expected the media to kind of blow it out of proportion. We didn't really have social media and things like that. And we didn't really expect Mario to be, you know, to be in this situation where we had no idea what to expect. We all kind of thought, okay, he's sick or he's got a bad back or whatever. That heals accordingly, and we hope he gets back. With Crosby, it's just one report after another, and some of them are contradicting each other, and some of them are just really blown out of proportion. You know, some people are saying he's retiring. Some people are saying he's a lock to come back this season and everything in between. And then you throw in a lot of the stuff we're talking about where you don't know the amount of the concussions and, you know, the neck injury was sort of misdiagnosed and things like that. and there's a lot of uncertainties about the vertebrae and everything like that. This just, to me, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And I hate to even speculate on what the future is going to be. It almost seems, you know, forever ago that we were watching Sidney Crosby even play hockey.
Yeah. Yeah, you bring up a lot of good points there. And just looking back, you know, before all of this happened, like the Cup year in 2008 and, you know, all the way back to Sid's rookie year, you didn't think about this stuff. You didn't think about, you know, all of these injuries. And now, every time he goes on the ice, you're going to be thinking, oh, man, you know, I hope nothing happens. You know, you just didn't really have that feeling. And I miss watching Sid play and just not having to worry about this. And it's really frustrating. It's really depressing. It's really hard to swallow as a Pens fan, as a hockey fan. It's really hard, and hopefully everything turns out okay, and hopefully he can get back to full health. But certainly no guarantees of that, but I wish him all the best there, that he recovers soon.
And, you know, you keep coming back to this feeling that this is totally unfair. This is the glory years of this era of Penguin hockey. We're supposed to be in the prime of this supposed dynasty, and we as fans have sort of been robbed from that or had that taken away from us. But let's not forget the fact that as unfair as it seems to us as fans, it is twice as unfair, if not 10 times more unfair, to Sidney Crosby, who's dedicated his life to this game. He's dedicated his life to this city for, you know, the next so many years. He's dedicated his life to this league and this game. And he's unable to play it right now. He's unable to fulfill those duties. And, you know, this is his passion and his joy. And not only can he not do it, but he has everybody talking about him and why or why not he can't perform and why he can't get out there. Some people are being very critical of Sidney Crosby and his desire and his heart, which I think is just absolutely, I mean, that's criminal right there. If you know anything about Sidney Crosby after watching him through his career so far, you are an idiot if you're making comments like that. There's no nice way to put it, unfortunately. Now, on the other hand, as far as fans go, we can look at it as, man, this is unfair. This is the glory years of the dynasty. Or we can really appreciate what we still do have playing in Pittsburgh right now and is healthy, and that is Evgeny Malkin, James Neal, Chris Letang, just coming back from their all-star performances, performing quite well in both the skills competition and the game. Evgeny Malkin with a ridiculous shelf job from a bad angle on the second goal for Team this is on Team Chara, right? I don't even care enough about what team was what, but with the second goal there to help his team to win the game. And I mean, what can we say about the way Evgeny Malkin is playing right now? You have to appreciate that and don't let it be overshadowed by everything that's going on with Crosby drama.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame that Sidney Crosby is unable to play on what is arguably probably the best team he's ever had. I mean, this Penguins team with 87 in the lineup is easily the Stanley Cup favorite. And really, if they're healthy top to bottom, there aren't many weak spots on this lineup. So, but yeah, Evgeny Malkin has certainly put this team on his back, and we are all seeing Gino come into what might be, you know, the magnum opus of his career if he can keep this going through the playoffs. So really special stuff. Hopefully to get Staal back, hopefully to get the Prey back, and this team can start looking like Pittsburgh Penguins hockey is supposed to look soon.
And some more good news if you're a Penguins fan. Jordan Staal was skating before practice along with Simone Dupre and Sidney Crosby. Josh Yowie from the Tribune Review was speculating, and there's that word again, but speculating that maybe a week or two away from returning to some type of action with the Penguins. And that's certainly good news if you're a Pens fan. And Simone Dupre doesn't seem like he's too far off there, too, who is not someone who you figure to be a long-term part of the Penguins' blue line this year. But, you know, the way things have transpired, and I think we can all agree that the defense has been the weak point of the Pens team for this year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, folks, tomorrow night back in action against the Toronto Maple Leafs. It seems like it's been forever, but it'll be good to recap a game on the Pens Nation radio show again. Make sure you tune in live. You can download this podcast on thepensnation.com by clicking on the iTunes logo. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for Overtime. I forgot to ask him to write more articles like that, because let's not forget that since the first Jan Kovacevic article, which was the one where he was talking about the captain situation, the Penguins have won seven straight since then.
We have to put his name on the cup if they win.
Yeah, no kidding. Definitely a valuable player in that situation.
The Conn Smythe.
Well, it's interesting that in terms of, like, the media and how the team – and this is – again, I'm not putting down the Penguins organization here. I'm just making a comment and telling it how I see it. I remember in a press conference recently, and Mark Madden is obviously a very polarizing figure. I know most people in Pittsburgh, either love the guy or absolutely despise him. But I remember him asking some really tough questions to Dan Bylsma, and during that six-game losing streak where the Pens were kind of, had hit rock bottom in that streak, and just soon afterwards, they released a statement, about Crosby, and Crosby ended up talking to the media and addressing the media soon thereafter. Dayon, he releases that column about the media. Or excuse me, about the team having a closed door locker room, and the potential of having a new captain or how that affected the captaincy and what's going on with Sid. 24 hours later, you see the team. Everybody's out on the ice wearing the C's, and then all of a sudden it seems like there's a new spark in the locker room, and they go on a seven game winning streak through the All-Star break, and then today. With these columns in the media coming out and releasing reports around, Sidney Crosby's neck, and the Penguins are forced to release a statement, addressing the situation, which I do not believe they would have done had the Sportsnet and Kovacevic's columns, stayed unwritten. So it's kind of, that's the only thing that's very sketchy to me, is the fact that this team is kind of like, they're waiting for the media to release something, or they're waiting for something to get out, and then it's automatically, okay, well, let's address it now. Let's not get it before, let's not strike before the iron gets hot here. Let's wait until there's already a big brew of rumors and bunch of speculation and even sometimes very credible reports before they address things like that. So to me, that is a little bit concerning when it comes to the media standpoint. And I hope if that's going to be the trend it goes, I hope the media in Pittsburgh and in Canada both continue to put pressure on the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely right. The team just seems to kind of just confirm things in a sense, when they hear a report and say, okay, we'll confirm this, cause if we stay silent, there's gonna be all these questions, and just to make things easier, we'll put out a statement. So you're absolutely right on that. And this Dayon's articles, they've generated so much buzz. That first one, Twitter exploded. Everyone was talking about it on all the radio talk shows, and just incredible stuff. It really is.
And if you know Dayon over the years, you know that he is reliable in that sense.
Oh, yeah.
And he's not a journalist who goes out there and tries to create a story out of something he's not. We know lots of people from Toronto and New York, I'm not going to mention any names, but who do that all the time. Kovacevic is not that person, or even some in Pittsburgh who do that a lot. But and that was maybe one of the names I was thinking.
Ethan Herb Brooks.
Well, Herb Brooks created his own stories in the media.
We like
his
Herb
time. but those were caught on video, and he was suspended for that. but um, But yeah, so some good stuff from Kovacevic and some good things from, that we're seeing on the ice of the Penguins, and hopefully things go up from here, and you know, we might be getting some good news here fairly soon, or some kind of news, I guess. Period. So what do the Pens need to do from here on out for the rest of this season to keep this 7-game winning streak and the momentum they've gotten from it, keep it going through the month of February?
I think they need to trade Evgeny Malkin to the Los Angeles Kings for Andrei Kopitar. I think that's exactly what they need to do. And they could probably trade Jordan Staal and trade Marc-Andre Fleury and just have Brent Johnson just be the starter there and just have Pascal Dupuis and Brooks Orpik just skate on every line together. That's what
they
need to do.
Maybe they should bring Max Talbot. I mean, how many goals do you have in Game 7 compared to Sidney Crosby?
Did you see Marian Gaborik? That Gaborik, he almost scored dang near 5 goals in the All-Star game.
I wonder if the Pens could trade Jordan Staal and Tyler Kennedy and a second pick for it. Worked on NHL 12. I'm telling you, I booted up NHL 12 for my Xbox, and I was able to trade for Marian Gaborik. They should just do that. They should just do that right now.
Paris say for Lovejoy.
So if they gave out points or half points for hitting the goalpost, do you think Daniel Alfredsson or Tyler Kennedy would have more points?
Daniel Alfredsson. Now, if you said Tyler Kennedy would shoot over the net onto the glass and get a point for that, then Tyler Kennedy might be in the running for the Art Ross Trophy for this year.
Or straight into the goalie's chest would also be up there as a category.
Yeah, that's Matt Cook would also probably be up there pretty high too, and Aaron Asham really too.
Cookie was picking corners for the first month or two of the season. It'd be nice to get some of that output coming back.
Yeah, it would. I don't know. He might have to miss a game or two, not because he's being suspended, but because he's going to attend the premiere of Barrett Jackman's new acting debut.
Yeah, that was something. I was glad that Shanny didn't even flinch on that. So, I mean, I guess Brendan Shanahan gets a pass on that from Pens fans because he's at least acknowledging the fact that if Matt Cook does it, it's a penalty for being Matt Cook. He actually got by and he made the right call there.
Yeah, he would have gotten killed if he had any suspension there. Pens fans would have been on him even more than they already were.
Well, you knew something was up with that when literally moments after it happened. John Buccigross, who, you know, probably, when it comes to, you know, commenting on suspensions and things like that, is about as down the middle and objective as you're going to get in mainstream media. And even he had to say that that was the absolute most absurd thing. And of course, St. Louis media, you know, being the completely objective personalities they are, were immediately quick to fire the blame bullets at Cook and say, there's Matt Cook, there's typical Matt Cook. And that was pretty unreal. So I'm just glad I was just glad to see the team pick up a win that night, because that Cook penalty, if that Cook penalty doesn't happen, I mean, the team has a shot at winning in regulation. So the fact that the team was able to win despite that was it was almost hilarious, just the fact that that was called. Just really absurd.
I'm not going to lie. When I saw Jackman go down in a heap and I saw Matt Cook standing over him, I was a little concerned. It was like, oh, God. I mean, I saw the play out of the corner of my eye, but I was still a little bit when he was thinking, what did he do? He was doing so well. But then I saw the replay, and you know, like, are you kidding me? Come on, man. That's not hockey. That's not even ice skating in a, you know, rec skate right there. That's just bull.
So,
I was going to say something else about Matt Cook and his output. If he isn't contributing the way he was in those first 2 months, and he's not quite the same type of agitator or physical presence that he was last year. Do you still think he has an important asset, or he's an important asset on this team and he has a place there and a role? Or do you think his role has become diminished to the point to where he's more of a trade commodity than anything else?
Well, Dustin Jeffrey is certainly making a case for the latter, because to me, you know, you look at the long-term, you know, aspect of this team, and I know this is something we've talked about ad nauseum, so regular listeners of the show are probably going to groan when I say this, but I still think that Bielsma and the coaching staff is going to have to find a way to fit Staal and Malkin and Crosby, once he's healthy, all into the top six. You take a look at that third line as it is, and I think Joe Vitale has really showed you a lot that he could be potentially a third-line center. And if he is, you know, I Dustin Jeffrey, to me, I believe the kid is way, way too good to be getting fourth-line minutes. He's definitely a top-nine forward in the NHL on any team. So to me, unless you can move Tyler Kennedy, that bottom six is going to get really, really crowded, and $1.8 million a year, which I believe that's what Cook's going to make. Now, he's on a contract year next year already, which seems strange because, you know, time flies like that. But, you know, I definitely think that if Kennedy can't be moved or something like that, then, yeah, I definitely think Cook could become some kind of trade commodity, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you bring up good points with Jeffrey. I really like what I've seen from him. Remember, this guy was in the AHL. I think he was one of the top point scorers at one point before he got called up last year. And he played amazing, and then, you know, he got hurt, which was a shame because he was playing so well. Came back for a little bit and then kind of went on the injured reserve again. But he looks starting to look like himself again. He had that two-goal game against Montreal. Had 3 points in that game, looked great, and he was a major factor in that game. And that was probably one of the games that kind of the turning point for the Penguins. So, you know, they don't win that game without Dustin Jeffrey there, and he's been fantastic. So I think Cook is definitely up in the air there, especially with that salary. It really depends on what, you know, what he wants, because he is getting up there and possibly, you know, might be looking for the money this time around, because he may not get, you know, a big contract after this next one coming after next year.
And to close out the podcast, we're going to kind of follow up on one of our shows from a couple of weeks ago, in which we reported about the Wheeling Nailers ownership situation, the team being for sale. And Joe Depto, I know you've been at the front of this story for a while and attending some of the conferences and games and things like that in Wheeling. What's the newest news in the Wheel?
Well, it appears that there are three potential local buyers for the team, all of which seem to be interested in keeping the team in Wheeling, two of which are originally from around here. The third has relocated here based on the team's affiliation with the Montreal Canadiens. That ownership group is apparently from Canada, according to WTRF7, that's the local CBS affiliate. And that looks pretty good, but again, it's going to have to come down. A lot of it is just going to come down to butts in the seats. And I was at the game, this past, Friday night, and I'll be honest, you know, there was about 15 minutes before faceoff, and, I was talking to someone and they told me that they heard that there was almost 2,600 unsold tickets, just before game time. And I mean, the upper bowl did fill up, you know, considerably by the midst of the first period, but there still were a lot of empty seats and there were a few bare sections in West Banco Arena. Pretty soon the games in Johnstown are going to be coming to a close. So what they do, and the team is on a, you know, kind of on the playoff bubble right now. They just got done losing 2 out of 3, but you know, if they can get some attendance numbers, I think that there is a good chance that one of those local buyers could pull the trigger and keep the team in town.
That's good news to hear. And I know whether it be spring break, whenever I can get there, I want to get to a game. I've been up in Wheeling before the season's all said and done.
Me too.
And hopefully into a playoff run of some type.
No brass instruments.
There will be no brass instruments.
Kiss our brass, Wheeling Nailers.
Ooh, I see what you did there.
And finally, the last bit of NHL news. The league has announced that the 2013 All-Star Game will be in Columbus, Ohio. So, Pens fans, you finally got your home All-Star Game. Not in Qatar Energy Center, because Nationwide Arena is better, but it'll be in Columbus.
It really is. I totally second that.
So,
Terminator.